today, tonight, we're going to speak about God provides a door and man seeks alternative doors. All right, let's close our eyes. Oh, Father, we just thank Thee that Thou hast provided a door that every single one of us can go through. Thank You that we don't have to stand before a closed door, but the door is open. But Lord, it is only open for a certain amount of time. And one day it will never be open to us anymore. So help us to listen and to hear Thy voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Now God provides a door, but man seeks alternative doors. God knew that it was impossible for man to carve a door into heaven, as it were. Remember I said how I was wanting to bang and bash that door down in the house that we lived in because it was closed to me. But it was impossible for me to get in. And in the same way, it is impossible for us to gain an entrance into heaven. And that is why God became the door for us. God provided a door. What did John say? The Lord Jesus said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's love provided that door. God gave His Son to die upon the cross. He took our sins upon Him. And that is how He became the door. His blood was shed to create this door. And that door we can enter through faith. Deborah said to me, have you noticed the door's got a cross on? It's got a cross on. And that is the door of the cross, which we in faith can enter, and no one is excluded. Everybody is welcome. The reason why we couldn't create the door, as we said yesterday, is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way that a door could be created is if there was a perfect offering. And because none of us are perfect, and nobody has ever been perfect, only the Lord Jesus could become the door for us. And you know, He not only had to be the perfect Son of God, He could have just come down and be crucified. In the Old Testament, they used to take a lamb as an offering, a sacrifice, and they used to watch that lamb and see if there was any little mark on that lamb or any blemish. And then if there was anything, then that lamb was set aside and they had to look for another perfect lamb. And you know the Lord Jesus lived on the earth for about 33 years, the historians tell us, and for 33 years He was watched by man and He was watched by God. And how did they declare Him? He was perfect. He was without sin. When the Old Testament people took their lamb, it said in Exodus 12 verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. So when the Lord Jesus was walking and John the Baptist looked at the Lord Jesus, he called out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord God provided a perfect lamb for our sins, to take away our sins. He came to live among us that we could clearly see the perfect Lamb provided from all eternity. The only way to heaven was through His sacrifice. No other means to wipe out man's wickedness and vice. Thus men took Him and hurt Him. His back was scourged and torn. They even took His garments, subjecting Him to scorn. Upon the cross, our Savior was nailed and hung to die. The only lamb as payment that God would justify. There was no other way, no other door that could be created. Only if our sins are washed away because of His sacrifice on Calvary, can we get again an entrance into heaven. And you know, to me it's so wonderful. I always think of things in picture language. It's as if we come as a sinner to the door. And as we enter through the door, it's as if His blood just pours down upon us and washes our sins away. We become as white as snow. Sin then is no longer a bar. We are clean. What is the meaning of justification? sanctification, it is just as if I never sinned. And that is what God does for us on the cross. When we accept His sacrifice, it's just as if I never sinned. He taketh away our sins as far as the east from the west. He throws them into the middle of the sea, the Bible tells us. And there's a sign which says, somebody said, no fishing allowed. God takes our sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible says, verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth because of the cross, on him that sent me, he hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We enter the door of salvation. We become God's child. Now, some of you may have a father that isn't very kindly or not loving. Some of you may have a loving father. But the one thing that is so wonderful is that when we walk through the door of salvation, we become God's child. We belong to Him. We are His daughter. We are loved by God. We are cared for by God. We are protected by God. And we are led by God. Now imagine if you were perhaps somebody that was lost in a dark jungle. Your clothes are in rags. You are lost, totally lost. You are scared. You are dirty. You've rolled down in between the trees in the mud. You don't know where to go. You've been crawling around. You're without hope. You are desperate. And you feel so unworthy and unloved. Nobody cares for you. And so you're stumbling around in this dark forest, and suddenly there's a light. And you go towards the light, and suddenly on the light you say, oh, but the light is shining through the windows of a house, and there's a door, and above the door there's a light. And it says, all who wish to come in are welcome. All are welcome. And you stand in front of the door, and you think to yourself, all are welcome. Am I welcome? And you look at yourself, and you think, how can I be welcome? Look what I'm dressed like. Look what I am. Look, I haven't even brushed my hair. It's full of mud from crawling around in the jungle. And then suddenly, you timidly knock at the door. And suddenly the door is swung open. And the doorway is flooded with light. And these words says, come in. Welcome. And as you walk through the doorway, all those rags fall off you. And suddenly you look at yourself and you're dressed in a pure white garment. And you know what that garment is? The Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. Our sins were as dirty rags, but the moment we walk through the doorway, His blood cleanses us from sin, and we are clothed in the pure whiteness of His sinless life. Isn't it wonderful? That is what God wants to do for us. We say, I am unworthy. I am covered in rags. I have no father, no real home. Nobody can take me in, but the Lord Jesus takes us in. And one day when we stand in heaven, we're not going to stand as we are, but we're going to be clothed with His righteousness. We're going to be pure before God, beautiful and spotless. The door of faith that I enter it as a sinner. I say, Lord, look at me. I'm full of the dirt of sin. Thank you for inviting me in. I walk in and I'm washed clean and I become God's child, His obedient child. That is the key that turns the door. Now, Dr. George F. Pentecost in the Golden Terminus, he tells us that he was holding a church service, and after the church service, suddenly there was a little ragged little girl that was following him all over. So he was pushing the chairs right and putting the books away, but this little girl didn't leave him. She was stuck to him, as if she was stuck to him. And eventually, she was ragged, and she was about 12 years old. And then eventually, he says to this little girl, why are you following me? What do you want? So why don't you go home with the other people and go and rest? The church is nearly empty. And he saw her tattered clothes and her bare foot and her tangled hair and her dirty face. And but she stood on her little bare feet, and she whispered in his ear, Mister, I want to be saved. So he was startled, and he looked at her, and her little face was really earnest. And he said to her, why do you want to be saved? And then she stood on her toes again, and she whispered in his ear,
I want to be saved because I'm a sinner.
Who tells you you were a sinner? He asked.
She says, God says so in his book. And I feel it on my heart, in my heart.
And she lay a dirty little hand over her heart.
And then he turned to her and he said, can I save you?
Can I save you?
And suddenly she changed and she pulled her little shoulders back and she looked upset. And she said, no, mister, you cannot change me. And then only God can change me. No man can save me. And then he drew the little girl to the seat and he kindly said, you're right, little girl. No man can save me. But why come to me? Who can save you? And then the little girl in a solemn voice answered and says, Jesus, mister, he can save me. And she said it in a clear voice. That's right. But how is he going to save you? Dr. Pentecost asked her. And she whispered softly and eagerly in his ear, and her eyes overflowed with tears. And she says, oh, mister, he can save me because he died for me. And then he thought, well, you know, it was mere curiosity, but he was not so good. He said, well, if he died for you, he's dead. How can a dead person save you? And she sprang from her seat, and her eyes were flashing, and her voice rang out, and she wasn't whispering anymore. She says, he's not dead. He's not dead. Now he's God's son. You said this very night in the sermon that he's alive. How can you say he's dead? But then her voice went back to a whisper, and she hung her head, and she says, oh, mister, I want to be saved. And he prayed with her. He then drew her next to her, and he said, let's pray, and let's ask God to save you. And that night, she entered the door of salvation. He said it was marvelous to see her joy after she had prayed that prayer. How simply did that little girl go through salvation's door. As sinner, she had turned to Christ. His pardon did he implore. How confidently she was sure that he would let her come. Because upon the cross he died for each and every one. How joyfully she left the church, a daughter of the King, determined that she'd honor him whatever life might bring. We need to enter the door of salvation. But how do we enter the door of salvation? That little girl prayed. But I mean, what do you pray? How do you ask? How can you be sure that you have entered the door of salvation, that you are really saved? Now, in the same book, Mr. Sinclair, who is a well-known Christian worker in Glasgow, says that he always used to speak to one soul about the Lord Jesus every day. Every day, he didn't want to go to sleep before he'd spoken to one person about their soul and asked them if they were saved. Now, it reminds me of my dad. My dad tries to speak to at least one person and ask them if they were saved per day. But one night he was going to bed. It was about 9:30 at night. And as he was getting ready to get to bed, he suddenly thought, have I spoken to somebody today? No, I have not spoken. But he looked at his watch and he said, sure, 9:30, it's a bit late. Is it too late to go out and ask somebody about God? No, it's never too late. So he got his clothes on again and he went out into the street and he walked down the street of Glasgow, sallied forth into the street. And he saw an old man walking towards him, not walking so swiftly. And he got into John, he stopped the old man and said, how do you do? It's a nice evening. I see you walking late. And eventually got to the point and he says, old man, have you ever thought about coming to the Lord Jesus? And the old man looked at him and said, it's strange you should ask me. I've thought about it many times. But how do you come to the Lord Jesus? How? And Mr. Sinclair was quite shocked. He didn't think that he'd get such an immediate response. And he said, Lord, please help me. How on earth am I going to explain to this old man on the street how we come to the Lord Jesus, how we walk through the door? And then he thought back, and old people love thinking about when they were young. Hey, they like thinking of when they were children. So he says to him, do you remember when you were a child? And the old man's face lit up. And he says, oh, of course I remember when I was a child. He said, do you remember those first steps you took as a little boy? Perhaps, Mrs. Sinclair said, your mother picked you up and pushed you against the chair. And you stood against the chair. Perhaps the chair was against the table and she stood against.
and she shifted a little bit back as you were balancing against the chair, and she sat and she put her arms open to you, and she said, come to mommy, come to mommy. And there you stood. She didn't pull the chair away from you. She didn't pull you. You just had to come. You had to take that first step. And it was very scary, but you had to take the step. And the moment you took the step, you were in the arms of your mother. And he said to him, old man, it is just like that. God is waiting for you. He's not going to pull the chair away from you. He's not going to push you. But he's waiting for you to take that first step right into his arms, the step of faith. And the old man said, hey, suddenly that's exactly how I took my first step. And he said, I'm going to come to God. And he, as a guilty sinner, somebody who knew he was a sinner, he prayed and he said, Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I come to you. He took the step. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He took him in his arms and he claimed him as his own. And that's what God wants. That's what it means to accept the Lord Jesus. You say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for what you did. But the Lord Jesus is standing in the door. And he's saying, come. The first step is a scary thing. To walk quite on your own. As toddler, you are petrified to venture you alone. But mother's arms held out to you. Her whisper, darling, come. I'll catch you when you take that step. I know it can be done. When Christ calls us as sinners to come right unto him, just as we are, unworthy and filled with vice and sin, we too need to obey his call to enter through the door so that we may become his child, not condemned anymore. God's arms are held out to every single one of us, no matter what we have done, no matter what other people may have done to us. It doesn't matter how bad we are. It doesn't matter how good we are or how good we think we are. The invitation comes to all of us and it says, come. Now in the children's hour, Mr. Chaplin speaks about a girl who ran away from home. It's a true story. And she ran away from home and then she went into terrible sin. She was living in sin. She sank very low. And a broken-hearted mother tried to get hold of her and get messages to her and where is she to try and get her to come back. But it was impossible. She didn't even know where she was. And a man heard about this mother's heartache. And he went to the mother and he said to the mother, give me every single photograph you've got of yourself. Give it to me. So the mother got the photos together and the man says, I will get her to come back. I'll get her to come back. And you know, under every photo he wrote, come back. That's all. And he took those photos and he put it in the bars and the bad places where bad street women are and the mission houses and the pubs and the, any place that he could find on the street corners, in the halls. He put all these pictures and all the pictures said what? The mother's face? Come back. And one day the girl was walking into the bar, probably a bit under the weather with her friends, and suddenly she looks up and what does she see? Mother's picture, and the picture says, come back. And you know, she was so shocked that she just burst into tears, and she immediately packed her bag and she came home. When she got home, she thought she'd have to knock on the door and beg to get an entrance in, but the door was open. The door was wide open, and the mother said to her, my daughter, come. She said, I've had this door open all the time. It's never been closed. It's been waiting for you. Oh, praise God, you've come home. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the same way God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us with a door wide open. And he says, come. I will take you. I will clean you up. I will make you into a new creature. You will pass from darkness to light as you go through the door. You will go from going to hell, you will now go to heaven. You will not be condemned anymore. you will be pardoned and forgiven. How far the daughter wandered, how sadly she had gone to what the world might offer, vile sin that girl had done. But back at home, her mother with love prayed every day, "Oh God, please reach my daughter, confront her on her way." The mother's door was open. She longed that she would come, no matter how she'd fallen or where that girl had gone. A man in deep compassion took pictures of that mom, which said, "Come back, my daughter, no matter what you've done. Come back." The simple message. What love in them was found. Come back, no matter what is. Your life destroyed and bound. Such love demands an answer. The girl's tears flowed as she rushed back, right back to her mother. "Oh, mother, pardon me." So too a loving Savior calls out to you and me, "Come unto me, for my arms have waited long for thee." No matter where you've wandered, no matter what you've done, my blood will wash the stains as you simply turn and come. Isn't that wonderful? But you know, while the Lord Jesus beckons us to come, sadly others persuade us that it isn't necessary to come. It isn't necessary for us to repent and be sorry for our sins. They say many doors will get you into heaven. Satan says to us there's alternative ways into heaven, even though the Lord Jesus said, "I am the door." We read in another book called Love Wins that a man went into a bookstore in Chicago many years ago, and suddenly he saw a book on the bookshelf, and you know what the book says? 100 ways to heaven. 100 ways to heaven. And this enterprising writer had interviewed leaders of principal sects, denominations, societies, mission associations, and asked them what they thought the way was, or what was their way to heaven. And he was surprised to see all the different routes that people thought they could get to heaven. And he knew the publisher, and he said, "How could you publish such a book? Such a lie. I wish I could take every book off the bookshelf and burn it." There's only one door. There's only way, one way into heaven. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The Lord Jesus is our only means and access as a sinner to gain heaven. Before the Lord Jesus died on the cross, thousands of lambs were sacrificed and slain. But when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he said these words, "It is finished." What did he mean? "I have paid the price. I have created the door. It is finished. I have done everything that I can do. Now it's for you to come. The choice is yours." And you know, the choice is ours. And that is why one day when we stand before God and he says, "Did you come?" And we say, "No, we didn't come." It will be our fault that we go to hell, and it won't be God's fault. Those that suggest other doors, other entrances, other ways into heaven are like thieves that try and climb over the wall. They don't go through the real door. They don't use the right entrance. And the Bible says they will land in hell and they'll drag you to hell themselves. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Will prophecy get you into heaven? And in thy name cast out devils? Will casting out devils get you into heaven? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Will doing good works get you into heaven? And then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What is God saying? You didn't go through the door. And that is the question that God's answering us. Have you gone through the door of salvation? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? God says, if we haven't entered the door, we are climbing over the wall, and you know where we're going to end? We're going to end up in hell one day. Now, in the news article on the 2nd of September on the internet in 2014, there were two men stuck in a lift. The lift was between the third and the fourth floors. And they were stuck and they were claustrophobic. And they wanted to get out. And eventually one of them pulled the lift open. And he said, well, this is the exit. I can get through this door and I'll get onto the floor. And he pushed his way through the opening. And he fell down four floors to his death. We can think we can push our way into heaven our own way, but we will fall straight down into hell. We have to be certain before it is too late. You know, when I was young, there was a little girl, she suddenly got the diphtheria of the throat. Within that week, she was gone. I was riding to the airport the other day. There's a young man. He's about 21 years under a blanket. He had jumped on his motorbike, ready to go to work or to play or to do whatever. And the next thing, he's facing God. And that's what it can happen in a moment. It doesn't matter how small or how old we are. It just happens like that. Are we ready to meet with God? Have we been saved? That is the question. We cannot be too certain that we have found salvation, that we have gone through the door. Don't listen to people who say you don't need to come to the Lord Jesus. He doesn't need to forgive your sins. You can carry on as you are. They are leading you to hell. The Bible says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It's as if you're walking on top of a very high mountain and there's a little narrow path and there's a blind person leading you. Where do you think you're going to land? You can land at the bottom of the mountain. And so if you listen to these people that are blind to God's word, you are going to land up in hell. We need to be warned. One man was sitting in a service and suddenly as he was preaching in the service, he suddenly looked out and there was a man in the service who always looked miserable in his church service, and suddenly the man's whole face lit up in the service. And he said, the minister looked and he thought, what has happened? And he came to the man and says, what happened? When did you get saved? He didn't say, have you got saved? You could just see on his face that he'd got saved from the beginning of the service to the end. And the man says, I got saved in the service. He said, you know, for years and years I've been miserable. I have been trying to get into heaven through the saint door. I was so saintly. I did all the right things. I read my Bible. I went to prayer meetings. I was in the front seat in the church. I was making notes on my Bible. But I never admitted to God that I was a sinner. And I didn't ask God to forgive me my sins. And suddenly I realized, I haven't gone through the sinner's doors. You see, the sinner walks through the door. I am a sinner. As we accept the Lord Jesus who died for us, His blood washes us clean and we become pure. Another service, a lady was sitting in the service for a few nights and suddenly her face also filled up with joy. And the minister said to her, well, what happened? She said, well, on Monday night I knew I was a sinner because you preached, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. She said, yesterday night, I knew Christ died for me. Because you've said, read from Romans 5 verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, we didn't have the strength to be perfect. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And she said, and tonight, I realize all I have to do is believe. She said, because you read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And as she said it, tears of joy flowed down her face. And she was so full of gratitude to God. Now she had entered the only entrance. What did she do? There's three things. She saw herself as a sinner. She realized the Lord Jesus Christ had died for her sins. And she accepted the Lord Jesus as the sacrifice for her sins. She believed in him. Remember the mother with her arms out held to the little boy? So the Lord Jesus is waiting for us as a sinner to come unto him. He will lead us from darkness to light. From guiltiness because of all the sins we did, to full forgiveness and joy. He is the only way to peace with God. When we as a sinner accept His forgiveness. Why can we accept His forgiveness? Because of the cross. Eh? Because He died for us. He paid the price. That is why we can enter the door of salvation. And how do we enter it? We simply say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me and cleanse me and make me my child, thy child. That is how I prayed as a little 7-year-old girl. And from that day, I was a child of God. And I've followed you ever since. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow door. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Enter into the straight gate, the only door. What tender love and mercy was shown to you and me. When Jesus died and suffered from sin to set us free, the doorway into heaven is Christ, the only way that we can gain an entrance, whatever men may say, from death to life, rejoicing, hardened because He died. How wonderful in God's eyes, now fully justified. Amen.